Morning, Terry. It's good to have Terry in the front here. At least I'll get smiles all the time. It's amazing. Thank you, Terry. Folks, thank you for the opportunity to allow me to speak with you this morning. My name is Francois Hubert. I'm working with OM. It's an international mission movement that's been existing for the last 60 years. But I'll share a little bit more of this with you. See, if you don't do announcements, you get a cordless one, which is amazing. Yeah, I'm blessed this morning. Let's just pray together. Father, your name be glorified. Your name be glorified. Your name be glorified. May we worship you, each one of us, in spirit and in truth. And may we love you and worship you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our strength. We worship you this morning, Jesus. May your name be glorified. Amen. Amen. Friends, yeah, for the last 24 years of my life, my wife Doreen is sitting there. She can wave. It's a privilege to have Doreen. We dropped the kids off this morning, so it's freedom for this morning. It's amazing. Our kids, we have a fight always when I have to go preach somewhere else because we worship there at First City Baptist in town, and it's always a fight. They don't want to come anywhere else, so we have to make arrangements every Sunday if I go somewhere for them to be dropped off and picked up and so on. But it's amazing that they're so dedicated and wanting to have that fellowship on Sunday mornings. So yes, for the last 25 years, it's been a real blessing to be part of OM, this movement. That is now celebrated. Last year we celebrated our 60th anniversary as a movement. This is a movement that started 60 years ago with a small group of very radical students in the U.S. who had a passion to see the lost people in the world reached for Christ. Now you think to yourself, what can students do to solve that problem? You know, these guys saw a need down in Mexico. They realized that people have no access to the gospel of Jesus, and they took 20,000 Gospels of John as a bunch of students down to Mexico and started handing these out with a lot of resistance from many of the Catholics in Mexico in those years. And as things went on, this passion grew, and this movement started moving over to Europe, to Spain, and from there they started taking overland trips to India and Pakistan and these places. And it's amazing to see that from that obedience, what God has done, how this movement has grown. Today, we as a movement have the opportunity to minister the gospel of Jesus to more than 1 million people every year. And it started in very small ways with a bunch of students who saw an opportunity, they positioned themselves right, and in obedience to Jesus' call, they went out and started doing something. And it made a difference in the lives of people. You know, last year we had the blessing of celebrating 60 years of this movement. You know, and when you have big birthdays like that, it's always an opportunity to stand still and reflect a little bit at what God has done over the last six decades. You know, and we could clearly see how God blessed this movement, how God guided us, how God steered us to the places that He wanted us to be as a movement. We've heard amazing testimonies, but one of the things that can happen when you celebrate things like this is that you can get kind of complacent and settle down and say, God has done it for 60 years, we can just chill and relax, God will continue to do it. But God laid it in the hearts of our international leadership team that we need to, as a movement, continue to ask, God, are we in the place that you want us to be? For 60 years, God, you've blessed us, you helped us, you guided us, but are we still cutting edge? Are we still where you want us to be, God? If we are not, we ask you to keep on directing us to where you want us to be. So for the last 3 years or so, our leadership and our international team embarked on this journey asking this tough question. God, are we doing what you want us to do? They had multiple surveys internationally. They heard people's testimonies. They spoke to people. They got consultants in. They were praying. We had fasting times. Asking God, God, are we where you want us to be? You know, and during this 3 years, there was a statistic that came up that shook all of us. And I think this statistic is one of those things that will continue to guide us into the next couple of years as a movement. 60 years ago when OM started, statistics said to us that there were about 1.5 billion people in our world that will never have an opportunity in their lifetime to hear the good news of Jesus. And I always want to say to our old president, listen carefully. 1.5 billion people in our world 60 years ago that didn't have an opportunity, and probably most of them passed away without hearing and getting to know about Jesus. 60 years later, you would hope with all the things that happened in those 60 years, even after the decade of evangelism, the 90s, that things would have changed. But 60 years later, that statistic has grown, escalated to 2.8 billion people in our world today. We would probably die without one single testimony about Jesus Christ. 2.8 billion people in our world today, friends. We would probably die without knowing Jesus even existed. And the scary part of that is that the statistics tells us that that target is moving away from us at 58,000 people every day. Every day, 58,000 people are added to that 2.8 billion people in our world that would never have an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus even once. Friends, I don't know how this makes you feel, but I have this kind of empty feeling on my stomach when I see that statistic every time. Because I realize, friends, that if we as a church worldwide are not changing gears or shifting gears to make this happen, 60 years from now, that statistic is going to look even worse. That's what I want to come and share with you this morning. Friends, this is not a call to mission organizations. It's not a call to missionaries, the few of them that are sent out to those nations. This is a call to each one of us who call us ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ. We have to shift gears. We have to get involved. We have to do something new so that we can see that number plummet over the next 60 years. We have to have hope. We heard this morning about hope. And that is one of the things that I'm hoping that the church internationally will wake up to this reality and that all of us will start doing something about that. I want to park that idea off a little bit. I'm going to come back to that in a while. You know, when we look at strategy and we ask ourselves, what is it that we as a church need to do? Where can we start? You know, we have that old slogan, what would Jesus do? So let's go back to Scripture a little bit and see what is it that Jesus did? Because in the time that Jesus came to earth, there was just as much a need as we have today. But what is it that Jesus did that we can take to ourselves? You know, Jesus, other than the fact that we take Him and we worship Him as our Savior, Jesus also came and modeled to us what He wants us to look like, how He wants us to live. Jesus is not only in our lives the Savior that died on the cross, but He's a model for each one of us. Because at some stage, remember, Jesus said to His disciples, as the Father sent me, I also send you. So what were those basic things that Jesus did in His life that we can take and make our own? The first thing, I think, is that Jesus did exactly as His Father told Him to do. Simple as that. Jesus did exactly as his father told him to do. The second thing is that he fully represented his father's kingdom. He fully represented his father. So when people saw Jesus, they saw the Father. He said that to his disciples. Why are you asking to see the Father? If you see me, you see my Father. When people look at us today, can they say that when I see you, I see your Father? Are we simply obedient to our Father in the way that Jesus was? But something else amazing happened in the life of Jesus, in his whole strategy. And that is that Jesus called us to be part of that amazing strategy. Jesus called us to be part of that plan. Friends, when we go and look at the Gospels, if we look at the stories of Jesus, we see that in the 3 years that Jesus ministered, right at the start, he took 12 young men and he gathered them around himself. And he called them with these simple words. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you, we all know that scripture, I will make you fishers of men. Simple word from Jesus. Two things we are called to do. Follow Jesus, and he will make us into fishers of men. Friends, the reality is, if we today call ourselves disciples of Jesus, we need to allow Jesus to complete the work in us, why he called us. Jesus didn't call us only to come and sit and worship in a Sunday service. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. What I see in Scripture is that Jesus called us so that he can make us into fishers of men. And he took these 12 young men with himself. And he journeyed with them, and he took them. They experienced, they saw, they heard. They experienced, they saw, they heard. They experienced, they saw, they heard. And eventually Jesus said, now you go, so that others can experience and see and hear the good news of Jesus. Simple. We are called as believers, as disciples, to simply do as Jesus tells us to do. Can that be so hard? To simply do what Jesus calls us to do. We are called to follow in his footsteps. We are called to follow in his footsteps. We are called to imitate Christ so that when others see us, they will glorify our Father in heaven. That's what Scripture teaches us in Matthew. Live such good lives amongst those that do not know Jesus so that when they see you, they will glorify your Father in heaven. We are called to work just as Jesus worked. I want us to turn, if you have your Bibles, to a very well-known piece of Scripture in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And I know all of you are now saying, ah, the Great Commission, we know that one. I want you to turn your Scriptures there. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. And I'm going to read for you from verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I'm with you always to the very end of this age. Friends, what an amazing scripture. And I want to start off by saying this morning, friends, this message is not a message that is only used when we commission missionaries to go out. We as a church have become so much creatures of habit. Every time there's a missionary that wants to go, we use this piece of scripture. As if this part of Scripture was only for those that to commit themselves to go to the far places. I don't see anywhere in the Scripture that it's only dedicated to those people. I see this as a message that's given to us, to His church. where Jesus comes to us and say, you are sent. You are sent ones. I made you fishers of men, therefore go and make disciples of others around us. Friends, I don't know where you are this morning, what God is saying to you in your heart, but I want to say to you this morning that God is interested in each one of you as individuals. The things that God has done in your life, the way that God has created you, the gifts, the talents, the skills that God has given you, all those things God gave to you so that you can worship Him in spirit and in truth, and that you can love Him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. Who you are today is what God made you to be, and God wants to use you to go and make disciples of all nations. It's not only for the ones and the twos. If we want to see that 2.8 billion people in our world reached with the good news of Jesus, every one of us will have to stand up this morning and say, God, I want to be counted. I want to make a difference in the lives of those around me. I want to be a disciple, Jesus, and I'm giving myself over so that you can make me a fisher of men. Friends, this is urgent times. There's no more time for us to sit back and relax and say, someone else will do it. For 60 years, that's what people were saying. And today we sit with 2.8 billion people in our world that will die if they don't hear about Jesus, without anyone telling them about Jesus. There's a couple of things in this verse that I just want to highlight briefly. Friends, when we hear this statistic, 2.8, my hopes sometimes just sink, because it's a huge number. And if you see the statistics out there of how many people are actually working amongst that 2.8 billion people, you will even be more depressed. But it starts off here where Jesus says to us, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Friends, when Jesus calls us to come and do these things, when Jesus calls us to be disciples, we don't have to stress about the authority and where the power is going to come. Where's the transformation power going to come from? That's not our worries. Jesus comes and He assures us that the authority, the power in heaven and on earth has been given to Him. That's why Jesus says, I will build my church in the gates of hell. Because it's not our strength. But it's Jesus to whom all power and authority belongs. So friends, this morning when I'm saying to you that God is calling you to be a disciple, to make a difference in other people's lives, don't say, I can't do it. I'm not gifted to do that. This is not my calling. It is your calling because Jesus called you, and He assures you this morning that His authority will make the difference in others' lives. When we testify to someone at work, when we testify amongst our friends, when we testify in our sport club, the transformation that happens comes from God, not from me. Paul says it so many times that he's worthless. He's worthless. But it's Jesus that makes things happen. The other thing that I just want to say is that God is calling us, each one of us, to be part of this plan of Jesus. How? Go and make disciples. Not church members. Not recruits. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. That is what Jesus calls us. And I just want to stand still briefly at this concept of discipleship. And I'm sure you've heard this already many times. But what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? You know, today in the church, when we speak about discipleship, in many churches, it's become something like a course that you have to do that runs over 2 or 3 weeks. After that, you can say, I've been discipled, now I can be a church member. Friends, when we look at Scripture, Scripture teaches about discipleship in a very different light. Discipleship has nothing to do with courses. It has to do with life. It has to do with obedience to Jesus. It has to do with following Jesus daily in everything that we do. It's not a course that you attend. And I want to read for you simply what one person wrote one time about about disciples and what it means. David Stern is a guy that writes a lot about the kind of Hebrew context of what the time that Jesus lived in. And he wrote something about discipleship, and he says the following. Now, he uses two Hebrew words here. The Hebrew word for disciple is talmid, and the plural of that is talmidim. So when you hear those words, don't say, ooh, what's this all about? All right, so he says, the English word disciple fails to convey the richness of the relationship between a rabbi and his talmidim in the first century of the Common Era. So he says there's something that's gone missing in our understanding of what it means to be a disciple. Because you see what happens in the translation process. Many times there's a concept around something like being a disciple that gets translated into a word in another language, and we kind of over time make up our own meaning for what that word means. Like the word disciple. It's someone who does a course and then you're done with it. In the time of Jesus, things looked very differently. He goes on to say, teachers, both itinerant like Yeshua and settled ones, attracted followers who wholeheartedly gave themselves over to their teachers. The essence of the relationship was one of trust in every area of living, and its goal was to make the Talmid like his rabbi in knowledge, wisdom, and ethical behavior. Wow. Now that puts discipleship on a whole new level. There's a couple of things here that he says. Discipleship means when you're a disciple, you give yourself over wholeheartedly to the one that you call your rabbi or your teacher. And who's that for us? I can't hear. So being a disciple of Jesus means that we give ourselves over wholeheartedly to Jesus as our rabbi, as our teacher. The second thing that he says, when he goes on, he says, when you give yourself over wholeheartedly, it means that you, the end goal of that was what? Can you remember what he said? To become like the rabbi. To become like Jesus. So when we are disciples of Jesus, the end goal where Jesus wants us to be is to become like Him. In what ways? He goes on to say, it's not just about knowledge, but yes, we become like our rabbi in knowledge. I mean, we need to know Scripture. We need to know what Jesus teaches us. We need to study Scripture. We need to dig into Scripture the best we can. But it goes on to say, but also in wisdom, and wisdom is applied knowledge. That means knowledge in Scripture is not just good enough for us to read and understand and study this, but it needs to be applied in our lives. If we are a disciple of Jesus, it means we know this and we apply this in our lives daily. The other part is also that we become like Him in ethical behavior. That means our lives will not and cannot look the same as it did before we met Jesus. There's a transformation that happens in our lives. Friends, Jesus is calling each one of us to become disciples, to follow Him in everything that we do. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 6 says the following. Just that last bit in verse 6. Whoever says, I abide in Him, or to walk just as He walked. Friends, I believe if we as a church start living as disciples of Jesus, in 60 years' time, that statistic will look different. Because we will impact the lives around us. C.S. Lewis wrote once, he says, every Christian is to become a little Christ, and that the whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else. Jesus calls us to become like Him. That's why we die, so that He can live within us. Friends, I want to close off just with a short PowerPoint this morning. And I want to again challenge us, friends, if we want to make a difference, start in your house. Start in your household to become a disciple of Jesus by simply being obedient to Jesus. Do the basic things that Jesus wants you to do. Don't shoot for the stars and for the big things, but start being obedient in the small things that Jesus calls you to do. And trust that God will spill this over into your family, into your bigger family, in your workplace, in your friend circle, and eventually, hopefully, also to the ends of the earth. How are we going to get this job done? Next slide. Friends, we live in a changing world, and this is just one thing that I want to come and share with you this morning. We live in a changing world. Things are not the same as it was 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. There's some amazing things that happen, and I'm challenging us as a church to ask the Lord, Lord, where and how do we position ourselves to make an impact in this world in the best way we can? And I want to leave that challenge with you this morning as well, asking yourself, looking at yourself with your skill set, your person, who you are, your relationship with the Lord, where can I position myself in the best way so that I can be a disciple of Jesus who will make others disciples of Jesus, who will make disciples of Jesus, who will make disciples of Jesus? Just click the slide again. Wayne Gretzky, he was a Canadian ice hockey player. He played 20 seasons in the Canadian National Hockey League. They called him the Great One because many of the sports writers and players said that he was the greatest hockey player ever. So they asked Wayne Gretzky, Wayne, what is it that made you so good? Why is it that you stood out above everyone else? And he had a very simple answer to that. He says, it's easy. I skate to where the puck is going to be, not to where it has been. Friends, this morning I want to ask you, are you positioned in your life to skate to where the puck is going to be? Or is it too comfortable where you are sitting to where, at the place where the puck has been already? If we live our lives like that, if we don't place ourselves in God's shoes in faith and saying, God, I want to be counted, I want to be used, we are going to remain in that place where the puck has been and we're going to miss the goal. We have to position ourselves. Next slide. We live in a changing world. Next one, you can just click. The body of Christ engaged in full-time cross-cultural ministry. Do you know it is as low as smaller than 0.1% of the church today? People that consider themselves involved in reaching that 2.8 billion people. That's a shame. Smaller than 0.1. That means 99.9% of the church today are not involved, not positioning themselves to say, God, I want to skate to where the puck is going to be. And then you hear statistics like the next one. Muslims that live today, 80% of Muslims in our world today will never in their lifetime meet a believer of Jesus Christ. That's not acceptable. Friends, we cannot make an impact if we stay within these four walls. If we do not position ourselves in places like this, amongst this 86%, we will never make an impact in our world today. But maybe God is calling you to work locally, in your church, in your community. But I believe this morning that for some of you, God is saying, maybe I want you amongst the 86% Muslims, or the Hindus of our world, or the others of other faith. Next slide. These are some of the amazing opportunities. Someone said some of the biggest emerging market opportunities are in the same places as some of the most unreached people groups in our world today. Isn't that amazing? This is not a coincidence, friends, that today the markets where business people and professionals can minister is amongst those who would never have an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus. Manpower studies, just go one slide back quickly. Manpower studies are saying today 42% of global companies have a shortage of skills to employ from. That means 42% of companies worldwide today say they can't find people with the right skills to employ. Friends, this is not coincidence. God is opening doors for us in the marketplace. Look at the next statistic. Millennials, that's the young generation today. They say 71% of millennials today kind of takes it for granted that they're going to have to go work overseas with their job. Isn't that amazing what God is doing in the church today? God is opening these opportunities. We need to skate to where the puck is going to be. The next slide. Where are these global opportunities? Just a couple of them. Japan has an 86% talent shortage. Almost fully Buddhist country. 86% talent shortage in Japan. Let me look. Take one other one. Turkey. You guys would know all about Turkey. Turkey today, 66% talent shortage. They can't find people to fill their jobs. So guess where they're going to come from? They're going to come from us. We're going to have to skate to where the puck is. The next slide. What if every Jesus follower, every doctor, every engineer, taxi driver, hairdresser had a way to engage in God's global mission without leaving their gifting and their passion? Wouldn't it be amazing if from that 99.9%, only 1% of them can say, I'm willing today to skate to where the puck is going to be. I'm willing to take my job to where God wants me to be. Friends, I'm going to close off with a video clip, and then I'll just pray for us after that. And again, thank you so much. Please come afterwards if you want to come and talk to me. Please come afterwards, and we can have a chat. Thank you. It should be sound there.
2.8 billion. It's a sum that's difficult to fathom. And yet, if nothing changes, that's the number of people alive today who will never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ before they die. Not even a single time. And that number is increasing by over 50,000 people every day. For too long, we have limited our notion of missions work to Christians who quit their careers, spend months or years raising support, and then work full-time in the mission field, which often requires hundreds of thousands of dollars from supporting churches. This model is simply unscalable and leaves 99% of believers on the sidelines with a false impression that their daily jobs somehow keep them from serving God. But this isn't the case. God has designed each of us with unique gifts and talents, and whether we're at home or in a foreign country, our vocations should be central to our purpose of glorifying God and sharing His gift with others. Just imagine what could happen if a majority of Christians were inspired to live this way today. Scatter Global is a community of believers with a common vision to help professionals go forth into the most unreached marketplaces of the world. We do this by equipping ordinary Christians to use their existing skills to get appropriate jobs in places where Jesus is mostly unknown. Then, as they go about their daily business, these global professionals look for opportunities to share the reason for the hope that is within them. Their jobs are not just a means to an end, but are a key part of their ministry, providing a natural pathway to share their faith through a lifestyle of peace, excellence, and integrity. It's a fresh approach to missions that is both effective and scalable. At scatterglobal.com, we're building a community around this common vision that will help believers connect with others to share prayers and encouragement, find resources to help them prepare for their journey, and explore opportunities and available job placements. No matter where you are on your journey, exploring the possibilities, preparing, or waiting to go, find the resources and opportunities you need. Visit scatterglobal.com. Then go and take your job with you.
So Scatter Global is one of OM's new initiatives that we are launching, and we are hoping to place thousands of professionals in those places where they can make a difference. The amazing thing with this new initiative is that this is not an OM thing only. We are currently partnering fully with about 8 other big mission organizations around the world to make this happen. I think probably in history one of the first real collaborations where mission organizations are taking hands to say, we can make this do. Let me pray for you and thank you again for the opportunity. Father, this morning I pray for each disciple of you who are here in Gunubi Baptist Church. Lord, that they will trust you, that they will obey you, and that their lives will glorify you amongst those who do not know Jesus. I pray, Lord, that there will be a real desire in each person to give themselves over to you wholeheartedly, to follow you, Lord, to follow in your footsteps, to become like you in knowledge and wisdom and ethical behavior, and leave the rest to you. Jesus, may you be glorified. May you be glorified. May you be glorified in and through this church. In Jesus' name, amen.